Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Evanston. This Sunday's sermon was given by Associate Pastor Henry Coates. If you'd like more information about First Presbyterian Church of Evanston, please visit firstpresevanston.org.
Our scripture reading today is from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In the New Testament section of our red Bibles, beginning on page 1. Please join me in a prayer for illumination. Gracious God, give us humble, teachable, and obedient hearts, that we may receive what you have revealed and do what you have commanded. Since we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth, make us hunger for this heavenly food, that it may nourish us today in the ways of eternal life, through Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven. Amen. Matthew 2, verse 1. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Bethlehem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it has been written by the prophet, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people, Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Jerusalem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We're going to do something a little special this morning. I want you to all take the blue hymnal that is in right in front of you, and I want you to turn to page 66, okay? And really, really quick, we're going to sing the first verse and chorus of We Three Kings, all right? We're going to do it a cappella, and we're going to do it at speed, all right? So you ready? One, two, three. We three kings of Orient are, I can't hear you, bearing gifts we traverse so far. You gotta sing out on this one. Field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Now dramatically. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Beautiful. You know, more of you should be in the choir. That's all I'm going to say on that. That is a hymn. A Christmas carol, originally written in 1857 by an Episcopalian priest by the name of John Henry Hopkins, Jr., and it was written for a Christmas pageant in New York City. And every time, every year about this time since, it has been sung by churches, not just in America, but around the world. I sang this song in Kenya once. It was awesome. It is sung on this Sunday in particular, because it's a song about Epiphany, about the first Gentile, non-Jewish visitors to the newborn king of the Jews. Now, we read the scripture that tells their story, the story of these visitors, on the first Sunday after the new year, on what is called Epiphany Sunday. Epiphany comes from the Greek, epiphania, which means to manifest or to reveal. On this Sunday, we celebrate Jesus being revealed as the King of the world. Today, we celebrate the incarnation of God in Jesus Christ. We celebrate this. The light of the star shone in the darkness, and it led the wise men from the east to the baby king. And it is here in the baby Jesus that they met God. So much has been made about this story, so much has been made of this story, about which we know so very little. There's a sense of mystery and wonder about this miraculous little tale. They were not kings, they were magi, which is a person who is considered wise and learned. It is a Persian word, that much we do know. There were not three of them, at least not according to Matthew. Wise men, magi, we do not know who they were, where they came from, or how many of them there were, and we assume that they were all men. We do not know how long it took them to get to Bethlehem, or how old Jesus was by the time they got there. What we do have is a story about people from a very far away place, people who weren't like everybody else in Israel, people who weren't even Jewish, searching for the King of the Jews. So confession time of the pulpit, you ready? I get lost really easy. I have terrible, absolutely terrible direction sense. You can ask my wife. I think GPS is one of the single greatest inventions in all of history. I've been saying it for years. I claim it. I believe it. But I'm the kind of special that can get lost even with a GPS. You see, that's me as a Christian, too. I have the map. I read the scripture. I ask for directions and listen to people who I think walk with God, who I think have been transformed by Jesus, but I still get lost. Maybe it's happened to you too. There's going to be a time in your life when you feel lost. Maybe you feel lost now, and that's okay. It's best to acknowledge that you're lost than to live in denial. It's better to ask for help than to remain in the dark. You still will be lost, and you might be in the dark for a little while longer, but help is coming. That's what Christians believe, at least. You will be found. So I want us to consider the brave, wise men, these magi coming from the east, following a star. I would say that we have a fair bit in common with these brave magi. I call them brave, for they were. Stars only shine in the night. Have you ever been lost in the dark? It's not pleasant. You can't see, and it can be hard to make out what's in front of you, let alone get a good sense of where you are going. The wise men followed after a star in the dark towards something, someone they didn't have any confirmation was actually there. You have to be brave to search out in the night for something you aren't even certain exists. Takes a kind of faith. They couldn't always see the star. No star besides the sun shines during the day. But they still trusted that it was there, leading them on. And when darkness fell, well, they had to press on into the night. And a question I've always had since a child, and I ask it now in my 30s, and I'll continue to ask it, God willing, if I live in years to come, why'd they do it? What does it mean to search for someone you've never seen, only heard about, read about? To me, that's the crux of this story. Searching, looking, desiring, needing to find Jesus. And then, being found. Yes, you could say that we have a fair bit in common with the Magi. I gotta ask, can you see in the dark? Scripture tells us that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is trust. When you're in the dark, you can't see. When you're lost, you don't know where you are, you don't know where to go. You have to trust, have faith that something will guide you while you struggle. The metaphor isn't subtle here, guys. We are like the Magi because we are stumbling in the dark after something we believe to be true, that we have faith in, but that we haven't seen with our own eyes. Like them, we are looking for Jesus. Like them, we are searching for Jesus. Like them, we need Jesus. But also like them, we have a light that shines. For the wise men from the east, the light shone in the darkness. And the darkness did not overcome it. And they followed that light, and they came to that baby. And the Bible tells us that they worshiped him. Now, this is the first time in Scripture when Jesus is worshiped. It is not by other Jewish folk who worship him, but by non-Jews, by Gentiles. Now, normally you don't worship babies, right? You worship God. Something is going on here, something the Magi have picked up on. The Magi should be a great comfort to us. They brought all that they had to the Lord, not just their expensive presents, but their very lives. Their messy, broken, lost in the dark lives. And Jesus still received them. Entirely. Jesus still received them. Entirely. I want to ask you this first Sunday in 2019. Maybe this question can set out your days. What do you believe in? What do you believe in? The world is dark. People seem lost. What do you worship? Who do you follow? What do you center your life around? These are core questions. We're going to be exploring them in the Explore God series coming up. But let these questions guide your life. What do you center your life around? We all got to serve somebody, something. Now, a lot of us seem to hold that what we believe will save us. Now, that's not true. God, revealed in Christ, saves us. Nothing else. That's why we celebrate on Epiphany. God has been revealed to us in Jesus. And because that God has been revealed to us in Jesus, we can know God. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Christians do not believe in a thought. We do not worship an idea. We do not bow down to a proposition. We worship the living God. The Word become flesh, born in Bethlehem of the Blessed Virgin Mary, laid in a manger. We say that in that baby, in that manger, there is God. You want to know what God looks like? Who God is like? Look to Jesus. That's who God is. We worship Jesus, who will grow from this baby visited by the Magi to be a man. And this man will be baptized by John the Baptist, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit to proclaim God's kingdom to the poor, to heal the sick, to receive the rejected. He will have mercy on us all. He will teach and he will preach, and he will be good news to those who come to him, for he is God come to us. And he will suffer under Pontius Pilate, and he will be crucified, and he will die, and he will be buried. But on the third day, he will rise again from the dead. And he will ascend into heaven and will sit on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. In a few moments, we receive the gift of God, Jesus, when we partake in the Lord's Supper. Jesus offers us himself, all of himself. Fully, he offers himself to us. His body broken and his blood spilt, and asks that we taste and see that the Lord is good, so that we don't have to be lost in the dark anymore. We don't have to be lost in the dark anymore because Jesus is the light, and he is the Lord. In him, God revealed himself in God's fullness. To quote the Nicene Creed, God from God, light from light, true God from true God. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, if you ask him into your life to guide you, he will. You don't have to be lost in the dark anymore. You once were lost, but now you are found. He will be your light, for he is the light of the world. He is the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness will never overcome him. Never. Walk toward the light. Walk toward the light, brothers and sisters, and let his warmth take you. Be brave. Be brave. Like the Magi. Be brave like the wise men. Follow. Bow down and worship the newborn King of the world. Amen and amen.